welcome to the Sterling Foursquare Church podcast. Our mission is to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. More info can be found at sterlingfoursquare.com. Thank you for joining us today.
Lord Jesus, right now we dedicate to you this time, Lord. We ask that you would give us open eyes and open ears to hear what you would speak to us today. Holy Spirit, reveal your truth in your word. Have your way and transform our lives in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Well, we just started last week a new sermon series dealing with our church mission statement. And the heart behind this series is not to just talk about who we are as a church, but to talk about what we feel like should be exemplified in our lives as individuals in the life of our church. And the mission statement is a four-part statement. If you saw when you came in, we have some banners on the walls. We exist as a church to offer hope for the broken, lives that are thriving, the equipping of believers, and the launching of leaders. That's who we are as a church. That's why we exist. That is what we live and breathe every day, and that is our heart for what we believe you as individuals should live and breathe every day, that the brokenness of your heart should be restored through the power of Jesus, that your lives should be thriving, that you should be getting equipped and built up into who God has called you to be, and that you should be launched out into the leadership that God has for you. Did you know that every single person in this place is called to be a leader in one way or another? Does that scare you? It should, because the things that God has called us to should scare us a little bit. Otherwise, it wouldn't be him doing it. Amen? I have experienced that so many times in my life. Last week, Ben shared a story about how we ended up here in Sterling. Ben and I were youth pastors in Lyons, Colorado, on the Front Range, and I had been there for 4 years since we had been married, and God had been stirring our hearts to step out into full-time ministry as lead pastors, and we didn't know what that was supposed to look like or where that was supposed to be, but we knew that that's what God was calling us into. And so we did what all we knew to do. We worked on our resumes, and we sent them out to the leadership of the Foursquare Church, which was this church family that we really wanted to be a part of. And we, in the way that Foursquare works, is there's leadership over different areas of the country. So there was a leader over Washington State, over Oregon, there was a leader over Colorado and the surrounding area. And so we thought, those sound like good places to live. Washington, Oregon, Colorado, you've got the mountains, outdoor activities. Let's give them our resumes. So we did that. We sent them out. We met with a few people, and nothing happened. And so we were waiting, and we were trying to be patient. Ben was doing a good job of being patient. I wasn't. And so we did our best. And as the journey unfolded, a couple of churches came open, and we thought, these have to be the ones. One opened in on the western slope of Colorado, and we were like, this is it. This is the perfect place for us. And God said no. And then another church opened, and it was in the city that we were living in Longmont, Colorado. It was just a couple miles from our house. We're like, this has to be it. We don't even have to move. We wouldn't even have to sell our house. We could literally just start pastoring this church, and we love the leadership there. We love the people. We were like, this is it. And you know what God said? No. Obviously. And so we were like, okay, God, we don't know what you're doing, but we just want what you have for us. And I think that part of that journey was really important because it kind of refined our desires and our intentions, and it just got us to the place where we were like, okay, God, whatever you have for us, we want. And then Ben got a phone call from Mike Kinney, who he shared about last week, about Sterling. Now, we had not even really heard of Sterling. I wasn't sure where it was at. And so when Ben heard from Mike about the church coming open, it was in the fall of 2009. He got the phone call. He was like, I'm not even going to tell Beth because she's not going to want to go there. So little faith. But he did tell me, and I took some time to go and pray, and immediately I heard the word go. Where we had heard the word no before, we heard the word go. And that was it. It was like, I don't know what the plan is for Sterling and why you want to send us there, but we're going to go. And so we came, and it was July of 2010. We came in here, and it was just like, this is it. And we've been here now. This summer will be 9 years. And although this didn't look like the ideals of what we had for our life. It doesn't look like Washington State here in Sterling. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. There's not any mountains at all. It's hard to even find a place to go sledding, but we have been so happy here and so, honestly, so fulfilled, and fruitfulness has resulted from us choosing to say yes to what God had for us. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about lives that are thriving, the second part of our mission statement. Last week, when Ben opened up the series, he preached about hope for the broken, and it was a really powerful message. So if you didn't get a chance to hear it, go online and listen. And the truth is that every area of brokenness in your life, Jesus has the power to make whole. This is available to us, and we can offer it to the world around us. We can offer the truth of Jesus and the wholeness that he offers to our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that we encounter at Walmart. We have the ability to offer this, and Jesus offers it to us as well. But today we're going to dive into lives that are thriving. But before we really jump into it, we need to take some time to really define what thriving life means, because everybody has their own idea of what a thriving life is supposed to be. In fact, just for fun this week, I did a post on Facebook, and I asked the question, when you think of thriving life, what comes to mind? And I thought I would get a bunch of really random answers, but actually they were all really, really good. And I was thinking, man, some of you need to be preaching this message today. They were awesome. A couple of people said it means freedom, it means health, it means joy, it means prosperity and abundance. It means being in your sweet spot and actively living out the purpose that God has for your life. One person said it meant a bunch of kids. And I was like, that's debatable, but I love your... He was a single guy, though, so with no kids, so I don't know. I love it. But if you were to ask people on the street or ask people in the world, how would you define thriving life, you might get some different answers. You might get answers like it means success or riches, influence or fame, accomplishment, achievement, arrival, that you've arrived in life. They might say that it means a happy life, a life with no problems or troubles. The question today is, how do you define thriving life? Because the way that you define it will make all the difference. It will set up your expectations of what your life is supposed to look like. It will determine what you focus on, what you put your time and energy and resources into. The way that you define thriving life will determine how you set up your bank account and your checkbook. It will determine how you set up your calendar. It will determine your values and what you focus on in life, the way that you define it. The problem is a lot of Christians don't actually know what thriving life is supposed to be, and their expectations for what God does in a Christian's life are false, and so their expectations are unmet. A lot of Christians would say that thriving life means that all of your problems are solved. All of your questions are answered. All of your troubles are over. You won't have any accidents or arguments with your spouse. Your kids will always obey you. And if any of those things happen opposite of that, that it's a sign that something's wrong with your relationship with God, that you're doing something wrong, that you're failing somehow. Maybe that's how you've been taught, and maybe somewhere deep down inside, that's what you truly believe. Well, I have some good news for you today, if that's what you have thought. You're wrong. That is not what thriving life is. Sometimes the truth is good news when you hear that you're wrong, because when you've set up your life in the wrong way, the gospel can actually flip it on its head and say, yeah, you've been wrong, but there's hope and there's truth today. The problem with so many of the definitions of thriving life and the world's definition of success is that it's based on what we can do in our own strength. That a thriving life is a perfect life. It's based on striving and perfection. It's this idea of pulling up your bootstraps and making your plans happen and setting a course and making it happen in your own strength. But here's the truth. None of us have it within ourselves to be truly thriving the way that God defines it. We can live a striving life, but the effects of a striving life are extremely temporary. And I think that we can all attest to that. A few minutes, a few hours, a few days at most, But when we run out of entertainment or money or stuff or influence, then life goes downhill again. But when we live our lives based on God's definition, we can truly step into the thriving life that he has to offer. And so today we're going to look at what God says about thriving life. Jeremiah 17, if you want to turn there in your Bibles or we'll have it up on the screen. In Jeremiah 17, we see how God defines the contrast between a life that is striving and a life that is thriving. And I'm going to read from the Message paraphrase this morning, because I really loved how it's put. You start in verse 5, it says, "Cursed is the strong one who depends on mere humans, who thinks he can make it on muscle alone and sets God aside as dead weight. He's like a tumbleweed on the prairie, out of touch with the good earth. He lives rootless and aimless in a land where nothing grows. But blessed is the man who trusts me, God, the woman who sticks with God. They're like trees replanted in Eden, putting down roots near the rivers. Never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fresh fruit every season." I love this beautiful contrast between tumbleweeds and fruit trees, really, in this passage. I love it because I know it so well. We live a little bit outside of town, and we have a little bit of acreage, and we actually have this vivid contrast on our property right now. On one side of our property is a fence line, where there's a corner and the wind blows that direction, and guess what's piled up on the fence line right now? Tumbleweeds, tons of them. And Ben's, I'll spill the beans. He likes to wait until the wind blows and then he throws them over the fence, so then they just continue on to the neighbor's yard. That's how we do yard work at our house. Work smarter, not harder. Yeah. No, but they're just piled up there, and they're breaking down the fence line. They're rootless. They're aimless. They're not growing. They're just taking up space, and really they need to be put in our burn barrel and just be burnt so that they aren't taking up space anymore. They go in whatever direction the wind blows. They don't have any purpose. But on the other side of our property is an area that we have carefully cultivated to be our little orchard, and we have 4 fruit trees, so it's a growing orchard. We're getting there. But we planned out our property when we moved in. We had this vision for a chicken coop and a garden and fruit trees, and there was nothing on this other side, but we planned it out. And in this one spot, we've carefully measured out the distance, dug the holes, put fertilizer in, we put good soil in, and we planted these little fruit trees, a couple of apple trees, a pear tree, and a peach tree. And we're taking care of them, and we're tending them. And they're little right now, but they're growing. And we haven't gotten a lot of fruit yet, but we know we will. And that's what the type of life is like that seeks to thrive in the way that God defines it. It's not about immediate results, but it's about the careful cultivation of a life that knows that fruitfulness will result. We have a vision for the future with those little trees, and they're going to bring abundant harvest in the years to come. In this passage from Jeremiah, it contrasts those two types of lives, a tumbleweed life and a fruit tree life. A tumbleweed life, which is a striving life, it depends on human strength. It depends on muscle alone. It sets aside God as a dead weight, out of touch with good earth, rootless and aimless, and nothing is growing. But the fruit tree life is a thriving life, and that's a tree planted in rich soil, rooted near a flowing river, not having to worry about the outside circumstances, hot summers or droughts or the winter that's outside right now. They don't have to worry, and then they bear fruit every season. Every season, not perpetually, but in season. The question is, why would anybody want to live a tumbleweed life? If you were to say, this is the type of life I want to live, nobody would raise their hand and say, tumbleweed life, that's me. Nobody wants that. But it happens because we are so concerned about living the type of life that we've defined as successful or thriving, that we don't stay rooted in the very things that will help us to get there. We try to make things happen in our own strength. We run every which way trying to achieve this or that. We're rootless and aimless. and nothing grows in our lives. So many of us demand the fruit of a thriving life without cultivating the garden of our life. And here's the truth today. Thriving life will never be found by striving in your own strength. Thriving life is only found when you surrender to God's will and you align to his ways. When you surrender to God's will and you align to his ways. And this alignment that you do in your life will require some steps and some action and some choices, but it's about walking in step with the Spirit of God and not doing it in your own strength. It's not just blasting forward in your life and then asking God to put the Jesus stamp on it. And that's what a lot of us do. You know, Ben and I, we had this idea of what God had called us to be pastoring a church, but we could have done it in our own strength and forced things and just made it happen, but it wouldn't have yielded a fruitful life. And a lot of times as Christians, we do that. We say, God, this is the plan that I have for my life. Now, bless it. You know, we have that type of expectation of God rather than being surrendered to him. There's a pastor in Washington, D.C. named Mark Batterson, and he says, for many years, I thought I was following Jesus. I wasn't. I had invited Jesus to follow me. I call it inverted Christianity, and it's a subtle form of selfishness that masquerades as spirituality. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of us do in our Christian lives. We're asking Jesus to follow us on our plans instead of following Jesus on the plans that he has for us. A lot of people are making their own plans and doing all the things that they want to do, but they're actually missing the very thing that they want. So how do we do it? How do we step into thriving life? Step one, surrender. It's our favorite word. If you want thriving life, there's one simple thing you can do, and that's surrender. And it's as simple as just opening up your hands and saying, your will be done. God, your will be done. I don't want my own will. I want your will, God. Your will be done. In Luke 9, if you'll turn there, 9:23-25. Starting in verse 23, it says, then it's Jesus is talking. He said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? So this idea of what Jesus calls us to following after him and to giving up our life and to picking up the cross, it seems counterintuitive, doesn't it? It's like the opposite of what the world says is the way it's supposed to work to have a successful life. Because what Jesus says is he says that if you want to save your life, you actually need to lose your life. That doesn't make any sense at all. So many of us are trying to gain the whole world by grasping at it, and we lose the very thing that we want, when actually, if you give up your own way and surrender, that's how you attain real life. It doesn't make sense. It's counterintuitive. It's the upside-down kingdom idea that Jesus calls us to, but that is the first step in finding the thriving life that Jesus has to offer. In Hebrews 12, 1 through 2, this is probably my life verse. It's the verse that inspires me in so many ways, but it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. The way that you attain the life that Jesus has for you is by throwing off the things that hinder in your life, by laying down the things that you have put above God, by putting aside the sin that is keeping you from stepping into the wholeness and holiness that he has available to you. You know, a lot of the things that hinder us are not even bad things. And that's the thing that's so hard for us. It's just things that we've put above God and we've made idols. And those are the things that he's calling us to put off. Not just the sin, which he is calling us to put those things aside, but everything that hinders, the good things that you've put above God, the relationships, the job that you idolize, this the the things that you want so much in life that you're unwilling to give them up in order to go to God first. Those are things that we make as idols, but we are called to throw off those things, put off that sin, and fix our eyes on Jesus alone. That's a life of surrender, a life that focuses on Jesus. Where are you looking for your help today? What are you looking to for your source today? What are the things that you go to when you need answers? What are the things that give you security in your life? Is it your finances? Is it a relationship? Is it an ideal vacation spot that you're trying to work towards? And if you can get that, then you'll be all right. What are you looking to for your source of life and your source of help today? In Psalm 121, the psalmist writes, "I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from?" He says, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And in this psalm, the psalmist is sitting there and he's writing and he's looking around at the landscape and he's probably admiring the beauty and then he's looking up at the mountains. And in those days, the mountains were a source of strength and security. You would build your city in a mountain or surrounded by them in order to be protected. And he's saying, "Where do I get my help? Where do I get my help? Is it from the mountains?" And he says, "No, it's from the creator of the mountains, the one who made all these things I see." And so many times we look to material items and to people and to outside sources for our help and our wholeness and our answers. And God's like, "Look to me. I'm the one that created those things. I'm the creator of heaven and earth. And you're putting your source in the created things rather than me, the creator." So many times we do that, and it's so easy to do that. We look to so many things to find help and wholeness and answers. But instead, we need to look to God, the creator. We need to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter. And we need to look to the Holy Spirit, the one who we're told we can walk and step with in our daily lives. Because thriving life will never be found by striving in your own strength. Thriving life is only found when you surrender to God's will and align with his ways. Amen? So step one is surrender. Step two, alignment. In Matthew 7:13-14, find it here. Matthew 7:13-14. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Now, when I was growing up and I read this, I always thought it just was talking about salvation, that like the narrow road is Jesus, the narrow gate is Jesus. And that's true. That is true because Jesus tells us in John 14:6, he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me." And so you have to come to salvation through Jesus. But this idea of the narrow gate has just as much to do with how we walk out our life with Jesus after salvation. Did you know that? That this is true just as much for salvation as it is for how you walk out your life after salvation. Once we come to faith in Jesus, the journey has just begun. The road into thriving life has actually just started, and this is where the adventure begins. The adventure of your life with Jesus starts at salvation. It doesn't end at salvation. And we get this backwards a lot of times. Salvation is not the starting line, or not the finish line, but it's actually the starting line for a fruitful life. Baptism is not the end. It's actually the beginning. I see that a lot of times. People are like, "Okay, I'm going to do this Jesus thing. Yes, Jesus." And then you get baptized. You're like, "Well, okay. I did it." It's like, no, that's where it actually begins. That's where the fun begins. As parents, we understand this. We know that the goal of raising a child is not the birth of the child, but it's actually getting them out of the house into a healthy adulthood. If you're a good parent, we know that this is the goal. Now, the birth is to be celebrated, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing, but it's only the beginning of that child's fruitful life. And it's the same in our walk with Jesus. Salvation is just the beginning of the adventure. But a lot of times we get things confused or backwards in the way we understand our journey with the Lord, and we mix up the order. And if we mix up the order, it's actually tragic because we're doing things opposite of how God created us to do them. One of the things we do is we try to fix the outside of our lives before the inside has been changed. And this is where people try to earn their salvation. And this is where people try to do everything right and work really hard and get everything perfect, and then maybe Jesus will love me and then Jesus will save me. That's not how it works. It's by grace that we're saved. It's by saying, yes, I believe in you, and then your eternal destiny is changed forever in that moment. Salvation is a free gift. But the other mistake that we make is because the inside has been changed through salvation, we think that the outside doesn't matter. Like, hey, I'm good. I've got my heaven card. Now what? And that's not the truth either. You do have your heaven card, if you want to call it that, but that will not yield a thriving life, a fruitful life here on earth. The truth is that Jesus changes the inside because of his work on the cross. But as we submit to the lordship of Jesus and obey the things that he's called us to, the outside will begin to align with the inside work that Jesus has done in us. And that's where this idea of alignment comes in. And this is really, the word for this is called holiness. The church word is called sanctification. It's this idea of walking out the truth of what Jesus has done in us. It's our response to the gift that God has given us and saying, yes, God, I want my life to be pure before you. I want my life to be holy. I want it to be aligned with your will and your ways. It's not about perfection, but it's about trusting that God's will and ways are better than your own and saying, yes, God, I will obey your ways. I cling to you and I live out the life that you have created me to live, not the life that I think that I'm supposed to live or that I want to live or that I just do on a whim. In John 14 through 16, it's a long, beautiful passage. We're given a picture of the vine and the branches. And you guys have probably heard this illustration before from Scripture, but it's from John 14 through 16. We're told that Jesus is the vine, he's the source of life, and we're the branches. And when we get saved or we receive our salvation, he engrafts us into that vine, the source of life. And we're told that we must remain in that vine to bear fruit. When we cling to Jesus as our source, we will have the fruitful, thriving life he's promised to us. But we do this through obedience. Over and over in this passage, in John 14 through 16, it says over and over, it says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. If you love me, you'll obey what I command. A true follower of Jesus will follow Jesus. That's an incredible novel thought, isn't it? A follower of Jesus will follow him. They'll follow his ways. They will obey the commands he's given in Scripture and the way that he said that this type of life is the life that will lead to wholeness. Did you know that that's what a disciple is just a follower of Jesus? And that's the second half of this journey, is you say yes to Jesus and you believe in him and you're a believer, but then the next part is actually becoming a follower of Jesus and walking out the life that he's called us to live. It's not out of fear or legalism that we do this, but it's out of love. And that's the source. That's the source of our motivation for doing this. This whole thing is based on a love relationship with Jesus. It's knowing that he is good and that when you align your life with his word, that only good will come from him. He's our source, and if you're going to a good source, you're going to get good things. It's about trusting him and taking him at his word when he says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus has come that you might have a full, abundant life. In the Message paraphrase, it says real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. You know, I have dreams and plans and purposes that I would love to see God fulfill in my life. But his word says that it's only through aligning your ways with him that those things will come to pass. That's the kind of life that he has on offer when you align with him. You know, every place in my life where I've experienced blessing and fruitfulness has been the result of just opening up my hands to the Lord and submitting my ideals and saying, God, I don't know the best way. You need to take the lead. You know, when I was 16 years old, I was called to ministry. Very clearly, God spoke some very clear things on my heart, and so I knew that that was the direction he was taking me, and so you know what I did? I came up with the perfect plan to make it happen, you know, because that's what we do. So I was going to go to this like really great school up in Portland, Oregon, that I was going to get sort of like a ministry degree, but one that was kind of like, just in case, this will be a good bachelor's degree, you know, if the church thing doesn't work out. And God just began speaking to me, and he was like, you're not supposed to go to school there. And there was this other school down in Southern California, like in LA County, that he was like, you're supposed to go to school there. And I was like, I don't want to go to school there. And he's like, no, you're supposed to go to school there. And I had a choice in that moment. Am I going to take the path that I want to take, this broad, easy, safe road, or am I going to go to this little school in California that's not glamorous and not awesome to follow his way? And so I said yes. And did you know that there was another person who was having their same struggle with saying yes to going to that school? Ben Hackbarth. He didn't want to go there either. He wanted to go into ministry and not have to go to Bible college, because I know everything there is to know already about ministry and I'm just going to do my thing. I mean, that's my paraphrase of it. But we all have our ideas of how life is supposed to work and the way that we want to go about the plans and purposes that God has for us. Imagine if we had said no to what God had called us to, where he had called us to go. I mean, for me, the thought is like tragic, because everything about the life that God's given me now and everything that he's done, my children, where I live, my husband, the ministry that he's stewarded, given me to steward, everything would be different. Everything, just by saying no to that one thing. And I think so many times we're scared and we're fearful about the what ifs, that we don't just open our hands and trust the Lord with what he's called us to. We don't have to know all the answers, and we don't have to know all the yeses. We just have to know the one, and we have to say yes to that one yes and take that step. And you know, we won't always get everything perfect. And there's grace for that. Maybe you're like thinking in your head of the no's. Oh my gosh, all these no's, what did I mess up? There's grace for that. There's grace for that. Grace on top of grace. God desires for you to live a full and fruitful life, and that is available to you today, but it starts with right here and right now, the yes that you'll make today. If you're submitted to his will and surrendered to him and seeking to obey, he will lead you, and he will not lead you astray. So a thriving life is a surrendered life and a life that's aligning with God's will and God's ways. It's clinging to the vine, Jesus Christ, and it's allowing the fruit of the Spirit to flow through you in the way that God intended. But it all starts with humility and honesty before the Lord. Question today is, where are you at in your journey with Jesus? You know, nobody here is supposed to have arrived yet. Nobody's arrived. You won't arrive until you get to heaven. So it's not about like, hey, I'm not perfect. It's just, where are you at today? Maybe you've actually never taken the first step with Jesus and you've never said yes to him. Maybe you haven't started your journey with him. You can do that today. Maybe you said yes to Jesus, but then you stopped there. You're like, okay, I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've arrived. And you thought that that was the end of the journey, and actually that was just the beginning. Maybe today it's about taking the next step with Jesus. Maybe, and I think this might be a lot of us in this place, maybe you have season confusion. You know the little fruit trees out on our property? If the expectation was that they had to be perpetually bearing fruit, there would be a massive amount of disappointment and unmet expectations. But I don't know if you guys have looked outside. It's winter time, and they don't need to be bearing fruit right now. They need to be resting. They need to be dormant. And if you have this idea that as a Christian, your life is supposed to be perpetually bearing all of this fruit all of the time, then you're going to feel like somehow you're failing or God is failing you or there's something about your life that's not thriving. When in fact, maybe you're just in a season of waiting or being still. Maybe you're in a season of winter. Maybe you're in a season of fall. Maybe you're in a season of spring and the Lord is beginning to revive some things, but you haven't seen a lot of fruit yet. If you have season confusion, you can become disillusioned and disappointed. When in fact, maybe your life is thriving, but it's just not a season of harvest. You know what I mean? And so today isn't about pretending that we have everything together. It's not about perfection, but it's about having an honest moment with God. So I'd like to invite you guys to stand, invite the worship team to come up, and I just want to take a little bit of time and have a little moment here for you to just be real before the Lord, because I don't know where you're at. You know, a lot of times we like listen to people speaking on the platform, we're like, they know what's going on in my life. I don't know what's going on in your life, but the Holy Spirit does, and that's what matters right here and right now, is what the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you. We need to be real before the Lord today. So just take a moment. I want to ask you just a few questions and just give you a moment to just reflect before the Lord. If you want, you can close your eyes as I ask these questions, or you can even open up your hands and just kind of make yourself available to the Lord, whatever posture you want to take. Where are you at today in your journey with Jesus? Are there things that you have held back from surrendering to Him? Things that maybe out of fear or worry, you haven't fully surrendered and opened your hands to Him and said, "Your will be done." Are there places in your life where you've chosen to not align with Him? Maybe places where He's asked you to obey and you've just been like, "Nope, not today." Final question is, what step is He leading you to take today? It's not about a sprint, but it's about a marathon where you just take one step at a time, walk in step with Him, allow Him to lead you. Don't focus on the end, just focus on the next step right now. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we welcome Your voice. Holy Spirit, we welcome You to speak right here in this moment. God, we want to align with You, Lord, in humility and in honesty today. Lord, we say we don't have it all together, and there's places where we've messed up, but we need You, God. We need You. We want to cling to You, our source of life, God. We don't want to strive in our own strength and mess things up, God. We don't want to be just a tumbleweed, just blowing, rootless and aimless, God, but we want to be a tree planted in rich soil, growing in season, stepping into who You've called us to be through Your strength. Holy Spirit, today, give us the courage to respond to what You're calling us into. Give us the wisdom to know how to take the next steps, Lord. We don't have all the answers, but You do, Lord. Reveal Your truth today. Lord, and I pray for any in this place who have never taken that first step and said yes to You. Today, in the name of Jesus, we say, have Your will and have Your way. Lord, have Your way in their lives. For those who have never taken the steps beyond that, Lord, we say, have Your will in our lives. And for those of us who've been disillusioned and disappointed, we say, Lord, have Your will in our lives. Not what we want, but what You want, God. Have Your will in our lives, Lord. Your will be done. In the name of Jesus, we offer ourselves to You, God, because we don't want the life that we've defined as a successful life. We want the thriving life that You have on offer for all of us today. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. If you've taken the first step today and said yes to Jesus at our connections counter, we have just a resource bag available for you. Please go there and say, I said yes today to Jesus. They would love to pray with you and get that in your hands. And also, we want to invite you to be sure to come back next week. We're going to do our next part of our mission series about equipping of believers. And this one is really exciting because it's what you do when you trellis a tree that's growing. Equipping has to do with setting up a tree well so that it can thrive into the full fruitfulness that it has available to it. But before we go, I've got three action steps for you. Number one, read John 14 through 16 this week. It's a long passage. Break it up if you want, but just dive into the Word this week and read it. And number two, as the Holy Spirit reveals, write down a place in your life where you need to surrender or align. And number three, share it with a trusted friend or a Connect Group member this week. Amen? Amen.